Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
We had a fascinating conversation about the future of Von Miller. We had it, I think, there in a different way and more expansively with more details and context than we've had previously.
Yep.
And a lot of our listeners felt the same way. A ton of reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line. Could not get back to everyone, but I appreciate the interaction. Read, I'd like to think, most of them. All right. George Payton. New general manager of the Denver Broncos. He did a one-on-one interview with Phil Milani of the team's website. Does a fine job. He asked George Payton why he chose the Denver Broncos.
Well, it's an iconic franchise, and with a winning tradition, and you know, we've played there over the years, and the fan base is incredible. It's a rabid fan base, and they love football. And it was just... you know, throughout the interview process, which is first class, I really felt a connection, you know, with everyone, you know, I met with, whether it was Brittany or John Elway, Vic Fangio, you name it. I mean, I really felt connected, thought we had a shared vision on how we were going to build this thing. And you know, John Elway's going to hand you the baton. I mean, what a greater honor than take the baton from John Elway. So really, really excited.
Stoke?
I like it. You look at, you know, him talking with everybody they talked to and having that shared vision. That's what you want. You know, you want to be on the same page, especially on the same page with John, and feel comfortable with John and the direction that and the authority that you're going to have and the moves that you're going to have to make. Some of them John might not like. Obviously, a lot of these guys he picked and. But it's so you want to have that shared vision and you want to feel comfortable with them and feel like, you know, y'all have a good understanding of what's going to happen here. And it seems like they have that between them, too.
My question in relation to what we just heard is how deep is the connection between not George Payton and John Elway, but George Payton and Vic Fangio?
Mm.
Because he singled him out. I felt the other day he said, I felt at home when I was talking to these guys. Right now he says, yeah, I felt just a real connection with John and with Vic. And I wonder how much weight that carries here in the next 2 years of that shared vision. If they are starting to become woven together here over the next couple months and be in lockstep, if Vic will be shown...
No. He's not getting another freebie. That's kind of like shown some grace.
I didn't want to use the word because I've been overusing that.
Oh, you have?
But
I haven't noticed. I overuse a lot of words. And I'm reminded, you know, when I come in the studio on the text line about my overusage of certain words. So thank you. Thank you.
Well, guess what? Here's what they can't understand. When you talk for 3 hours a day, you're going to end up using some of the same words. So let me go back to the well. Yes. Will Vic Fangio be shown some legitimate grace from a guy that he's got a shared vision with, and it seems like George Payton is endorsing this sort of relationship?
No. They just met. He just took the job. This is what he's going to say. But Vic's not his guy. Now, we'll see how they work. Hopefully they work well together, but even if they do, he's still not his guy.
Right.
He didn't hire him. But so Vic's on a one-year audition. And I don't think I kind of try to put myself in his shoes and think how I would operate.
George Payton.
Yes, in the general manager's shoes here. I know that I would be looking at it very critically. And if it's not good enough, then for me, I'm ready to move on and try to find my guy and hire my guy. Right, and start this process.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to give Vic one more year if he's had 3 years and hasn't done well with it. At one point, do you just say, it's just not good enough, we got to start over? And I know he has no real strings attached to Vic. Now, you can say you have this connection with him. They just met. They just started talking. I mean, what kind of great connection. I know you had a lot of those probably in high school where you just met her and next thing you know, y'all are going to plan on getting married, right? But I mean, most people don't.
You're such a doofus.
Most people don't. So I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. This thing could, you know, be a great pairing. It might be not a good one. I mean, but I don't think Vic gets any kind of passes this year because, you know, it's George Payton's first year on the job, and he's going to give Vic a little bit more wiggle room.
Let me ask you this. George Payton, is he going back 2 years, or is he just really hyper-examining this past year with Vic?
Well, once again, if it was me, I'm watching everything.
Okay.
I'm watching the first year because, you know, that's your... You know, you're in charge of the draft, which is very important. You're in charge of free agency, that's very important. And you're in charge of the head coach, and that's very important. Right? And so...
And you heard from Rick Spielman just how much of a... I know grinder is... That term grinder is probably overused, but that's the word that he used to describe him. He just is lifting over every stone. So he profiles as a guy that would be... You know, he's not coming in like Vic. I know we joked around about it yesterday, but I'm not going to look at anything from the past. I want, you know, it's under my watch now, and how do these guys do under me and my tutelage? That doesn't sound like George Payton.
Right. So I think you do go back 2 years, and you watch, and you talk to people, right? You know, you pick people, hey, John, what'd you think? You know, give me some pros, give me some cons. Of that of Vic overall, and then you watch and see how he operated in certain situations, and so I think you have to.
So and the reason why I asked that question is, although this is George Payton's first year here,
somebody liked my joke.
At the end,
they liked it.
At the end,
thank
of the,
you 720-460. Put like, your name on. I'd give you a shout out.
Like a 4 out of 10.
I said it was epic. Said it was epic.
Did you think it was epic?
I thought it was pretty good.
Dude.
Or just coming up
lazy
with it like that.
A lazy layup.
Every time I give a good one, you always say it's a layup. Are you kidding me? And then you try to take my jokes, and then you start your own joke. It's like, come up with your own stuff, man. No. I mean, seriously.
This is like the 10th time you've tried to make a joke about me and
when?
Like
10 times since we've been doing our shows together today?
10 times like in the last like 3 months.
Yeah, you're just making this stuff up.
Do you know my history?
Like my wife right now, just making stuff up. You're just making stuff up.
Do you know my jersey's hanging up somewhere? All right? Yeah, I don't think you just...
What does research? What does that mean? What does that mean? Do you know my jersey's hanging up? I can't make fun of you? I can't make a joke?
Figure it out.
I don't know what to make of that. I can't make a joke about you?
I asked the question about...
Come in the building today and all of a sudden, you know, you're Mr. Sensitive over there.
No, I'm not...
Ralph Tresvant. Oh, my goodness.
Ralph who?
Yeah, you don't even know. RamosLaw.com, Texas.
Oh, my gosh.
Ralph Tresvant?
Ralph...
Oh, man. Man with sensitivity. That's you.
Was that like a song?
Yeah. It's a great song.
It's probably...
Man.
This is just a little bit before my time.
But you're a music guy. Like, you know everything about music. Probably like... you're like oldies or...
Yeah, my oldies are like even farther back. The reason why I asked you, before we move on, I got to get this answer from you. The reason why I asked about Vic's first 2 years, even though George Payton's first year in Denver, is it being operated from his perspective, from the new GM's perspective, like it's year three for Vic? From his perspective, even though it's Payton's first year, is he operating like this is his third year with Vic because of what Vic's already put on tape?
Yes. I mean, that's the way you have to operate. You have to operate where you take the past into consideration here with what has happened. Is that what you're looking for there?
Yeah, like because really this is their first year together. Typically, you don't fire someone after their 1 year.
But you remember Detroit? They fired Jim Caldwell. The new general manager came in. Jim Caldwell had the 1 year, and it wasn't awful. And then he hires his guy Matt Patricia. So I think you have to go into it. And if you're the general manager and you look at Vic and realizing that the first 2 years haven't been good enough, okay? Now, I'm going to give him an opportunity to earn this job.
And that's 2021. That's it.
Yes, you got to earn this job. And Vic knows that. Vic knows that, you know, hey, thank you. you know, for everything, you know, that I get one more year out of this thing. All the stuff that's happened and everything that's happened, they're giving me one more year. That's a blessing for him. It probably wasn't earned.
Right.
It wasn't earned, really. Normally 2 years, and you look at Vic's record, and you're regressing from 7 wins to 5 wins, you're out of here. Right? And if this was 4 years ago, 3 years ago, Vic's out of here.
Correct.
I mean, he is gone.
We agree
on
that.
It's not even a conversation.
Right.
But given the circumstances, everything that's happened, Vic gets a pass. And he absolutely knows that. So he knows he's coaching for his job this year. It's got to be much better. And I think everybody understands that. And if it's not, he'll be gone.
All right. Good conversation.
Shout out, Jared.
Shout out, Jared.
Yep,
I want to shout out Darren. He says, Zach, what does it feel like to be in preschool all day long with Stokely? Fun fact, Stokely finger paints during the commercial breaks.
Fun fact.
Has George Payton had a chance to look at this roster? He was asked that question. We'll play his response next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Is that what that guy was part of, New Edition?
I didn't realize he was a part of New Edition. I just remember when he was a solo act.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm seeing here.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I just pulled it up. All right. I like it. Stoke, we were going over.
And we played it because I mentioned, because you were being so sensitive, and Ralph Tresvant sings the song "A Man with Sensitivity."
That's right.
So that's what I called.
That's me.
It. And you didn't realize who he was. So now there we go. There you go.
Painted the picture. Yeah, Mr. Sensitive.
You were being really sensitive last segment.
No, I wasn't. Maybe I was.
See, you've matured over the years. So, you know, you're willing to look at yourself, you know, and realize that sometimes you do have faults, and sometimes and own them, and so that's very big of you. That's very big of you.
George Payton in his first availability with not the rest of the media, but I guess first media appearance, one on one with the Broncos team website. He was asked, has he had a chance to look over this roster? And this is what he said.
I've looked at it. I haven't done a total deep dive. I haven't had the time. But they do have a good core of young players. And the record doesn't reflect that because they had so many injuries. But I do think they have a good core of young players that with this coaching staff will keep getting better. So, yes, on the tape I evaluated, I do think it it's a roster that can develop quickly.
Okay. What?
No, I don't. Well, he's doing an interview with the team. When he says, "Yeah, I haven't really had a chance to look at it," I don't believe that.
No. He said he looked at it. He said he didn't have a chance to really dive into it yet.
Okay.
Okay. So he did look at it, but obviously, he just got the job. I mean, like, he's going to do a lot more work on the roster.
Sure.
So I think that's, you know, he's kind of looked over certain things and certain guys and kind of has a idea of guys. But certainly he hasn't, you know, dug into it like he will to, like, really start grinding on this roster and how he wants to operate with it.
This is more of George Payton, the new Broncos general manager. How does he plan to build a winner here in Denver?
Yeah, it's about the people, first of all, the players, the people you bring in your organization, and then you have to draft and you have to develop. You have to draft and develop talent in this league to win and sustain. So I think that's our philosophy. Now, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to, you know, acquire talent any way we can, whether it's free agency, practice squad coaches, waiver claims. We're always going to look for talent, but drafting and developing, you know, will be our philosophy.
Love it. I mean, that's what it's all about. If you can draft and develop the players, you know, now you don't go overspend in free agency. Now you can kind of sit back and wait for everybody else to overspend, and then you get good quality deals on solid football players. But you got to draft and develop for that to happen.
And the first thing he said was, well, first of all, it's about the people and the people that you bring into your organization. Sounds like George Payton, if I could just speculate, him coming to Denver it's not just going to be George Payton. I think over the next year here, I think you see some major moves happen in the personnel department, too. Who's going to be his Matt Russell? Who's
well, that's usually what happens, you know, right? I mean,
that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure. You want to have your own guys with you.
Yep, it's his deal now.
Right, I mean, you heard Rick Spielman, his former boss there in Minnesota, who's been his, they've been, you know, George Payton was his right-hand man there in Minnesota, but he said he had to wait a year before he was able to bring him in. So, you know, sometimes you can't bring your guy in right away,
sure.
And you just kind of wait because he's still under contract with that team. And but certainly, you know, anytime you take over a situation, you got to make it your own. And you got to have your guys working with you, guys that you know, guys that you trust. And so we'll see. Yeah, I mean, obviously there will be changes, and we'll see who his Matt Russell will be, who his right-hand man will be. But certainly that's going to be his hire. And like you said, I'm expecting to see other moves made to the personnel department because he's going to want his guys there.
And like you said, it may just take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
May take a little
bit
of time.
Doesn't happen overnight. You know, you don't clean out house overnight because we only got, you know, 3 months until the draft or whatever it is. I don't know when is the draft?
April.
Yeah, so we, you know, we got a few months. I mean, you don't clean out. Usually after the draft is whenever you start cleaning house.
Sure, because this entire pro personnel department, they've all been doing the work for the last year. Probably use those guys as resources, maybe in addition to what he's already learned in Minnesota leading up to this point. I'm getting criticized on the RamosLaw.com text line that I'm not pronouncing the T.
I thought you pronounced it too much. Stick the T. It's like Peyton.
Well, I hear the criticism, so I want to get better at it.
Okay,
someone
good.
Says, hey, Stoke, can you tell your co-host how to pronounce the last name of the new general manager of the Broncos? In Colorado, we enunciate the T. That's Ernie near DU. Thank you, Ernie. I will try to be better.
There you
Peyton.
Go.
Peyton. George Peyton. This is how George Peyton answered the question. How do you plan to be aggressive but not reckless?
I just think you have to know where you are as a team, you know, and that's really important, you know, before you can move forward. You really have to know where you are as a team, and that in turn determines your aggressiveness. But I think you're involved in every deal that's out there, and then you can discuss and collaborate and just determine if you want to make that jump. But it's really important to be involved with everything so you don't miss a deal, you know, that may get by you. So, and it will be aggressive, you know, involved. Doesn't mean we're going to always jump.
Interesting. Especially the way he started, like you have to acknowledge who you are as a team and then go from there. And I wonder what he acknowledges when he analyzes this roster.
I think we could speculate. Not very good.
Yeah.
That's why you're a 5-win team.
Right.
I mean, so obviously, and I think you have to know your team situation and how close your team is when you look at being aggressive or being a little bit more conservative with certain aspects of how you want to run the team. It's like, how close are we? And the Broncos aren't close. So does that mean, you know, you take the more conservative approach? Because you're not close. Right? I mean, you look at who is close and who is the lead dog, the Chiefs, right in our division.
Right.
How close are we to the Chiefs?
Don't live in the same neighborhood.
No. Not in the same state, not in the same country. Okay? And that's just where we're at right now. So how do you operate? Do you take the long-term approach because of that? But regardless of all of that, like you can look at your roster, but it still doesn't – the quarterback situation, the quarterback talk to me is different than – everybody else.
Okay.
Everybody else, right? I mean, like, okay, you can try to, you know, take the long-term view when it comes to building this roster up and, you know, maybe getting rid of Vaughn and not picking up, you know, not keeping him around this year and maybe not re-signing Justin Simmons, trying to get your cap in order, looking 3 years down the road. But you still operate differently where you have to find a quarterback. You can't put that to the back burner.
Right. Right.
You just can't.
I like that. Those two are separate.
Separate.
You got the roster and then the quarterback.
Yep.
And that's the reality. That's the reality of this league.
Because you can find safeties. You can find pass rushers. You can find offensive linemen, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Quarterbacks, yeah, those guys are tough to find.
Yep.
It's a hard thing to do. So
you can go decades without it.
Right. And if you don't have one, you always have to have an aggressive mindset. That's how I view the quarterback position differently than the rest of the football team.
I like that. I like that a lot. The relationship and the connection between George Payton and Vic Fangio. It's really important. It's really important. And he was asked about that connection with Vic. And we'll play his response for you next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
What is the connection between George Payton and...
Boy George?
What's that?
Boy George? Is that his hit?
Let's
dance.
Don't do it! The relationship between George Payton and Vic Fangio. The new Broncos general manager was asked about that connection, Stoke, and this was his answer.
You know, it was great. I mean, Vic and I, again, I thought it was really easy, and... I had to, you know, in Minnesota, we had to go against Vic Fangio's defense quite a bit when with Chicago. So always had great respect for him. We have a lot of, shared friends. So I knew a lot about Vic, but just sitting down and talking football and talking about where he came from, where I came from, you know, I thought we had a shared vision. I really respect Vic as a human being and as a football coach. And I really look forward to being aligned with him and working with him down the road.
Okay. I mean, it's what you expect to hear. They just met. They don't know each other. So
they had dinner together.
Yeah. But they haven't had a friendship before this.
Right.
So they don't really know each other. I mean, you know how it works. Anytime you meet somebody for the first time, everybody's on their best behavior.
Especially when you're meeting your future boss.
Right. The guy that could decide your future.
Right.
So
I'm sure Vic had his best foot forward.
Oh, yeah. Put on his best sweatshirt. that's the way it goes. So
it was hilarious. And when I say hilarious, I was legitimately laughing out loud in my kitchen yesterday evening hearing D-Mac use the burger ordering as a metaphor about Vic. He's just like, he's like, you're at a dinner mm-hmm. with three decision makers.
Right.
And they all order the steak.
Yeah.
And you order a burger.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this is like showing up for the interview in sweats.
Yeah.
He's like, Vic is just not the, and it was hilarious hearing him and Tyler go back and forth.
I know, we were thinking about getting rid of you after you ordered the burger in New Orleans.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's the way we looked at you.
You know.
Exactly.
You know, I'll say this. Nate Jackson. Did you see Nate? Did you see Nate's tweet?
No.
All right, I gotta read this to you. Nate tweeted. He said,
I mean, you know, I hear what D-Mac's saying. It's, you know, everybody's ordering steaks. You order a steak. If they have a cold one, you have a cold one. You know, like you just gotta. Well,
Nate tweeted, he said, ever been to Elway's? Simpletons get the filet. Puppets get the ribeye. Who has the guts to order the burger? I'll tell you who. Vic Fangio, a man who knows what he wants. Now that's a coach I'd play for. I thought that was hilarious.
All right, that was good.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, if you want a burger, you want a burger. I really don't care what he orders. I just want some more wins.
That's right.
Right. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
That's right.
Order whatever you want.
You can get the salad.
Right.
Yeah.
He's on a diet. You know, he's looking at his weight. Obviously, he lost a lot of weight last year. Kudos to him for that.
Lost a ton.
Yeah. Looked good. But you just got to win football games. Got to call timeouts when you need to call timeouts.
Mm.
Got to, you know, kick field goals when you need to kick field goals. Got to go for it when you need to go for it. I mean.
And not go for it when you don't need to go for it.
All of those things, right? Don't go for two when you don't need to go for two.
Right.
So get that stuff figured out. That's what's the most important here.
Know the score so you're not holding up to.
Yeah, that was so odd. I don't know what was happening.
We got to start slow here.
I don't know what was happening in that game, why he was throwing up the deuces when. No need to throw up the deuces right there. Like, right. What? If we kick this extra point, we'd tie the game.
Right.
Or be down three, whatever it was. Like, why would we go for two right here? That makes no sense. And you started it, Zach.
I know we can do this all day.
And you just said, you know, a month before how bad your team is in short yardage situations.
Don't throw the deuces up
unless you got to throw the deuces up, right? How about that?
Right, right.
Unless you have to. That means you're down two with, you know, a minute to play and you score. Now throw the deuces up.
You crunch the numbers, you'll see.
I crunched the numbers, Vic.
It took about 4 seconds. We crunched them. All right, this is George Payton. Well done.
You mismanaged the timeouts. I think that was that in reference to that. It was in reference to the Titans game. That comment, that quote.
Is that right?
I think so. If you crunch the numbers, you'll see that we, you know, didn't mismanage that situation. I crunched the numbers, and you did. And I crunched them again, and you still did.
This is George.
And it might not have been about that, but I'm making it about that.
Oh, Lordy. This is new Broncos general manager George Payton. What will he take from Rick Spielman, the general manager in Minnesota, and apply it to his new job with the Broncos?
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings are a wonderful organization. It's special, and it's a special place because the ownership and the people. And, you know, I always talk about the people, and the Wilf family have really, you know, brought together some special people. And one of those special people is Rick Spielman. And you know, I can't speak enough about him. You know, there's no one closer in this world than Rick. We've been together 20 years side by side. You know, we always laugh. I'm closer to Rick than I am with my wife because I'm with him all day and most nights. So, you know, Rick is one of the best at what he does, but he's even a better human being, a better father, a better husband. So I've learned, obviously, most of what I know through Rick in football, but really, you know, to be a man and how to be a great human being from him. So he's a special individual. I'm going to miss him. It was hard to leave him, but he's very supportive of me and he wants what's best for me and my family. But we'll be connected forever.
Sounds like those guys have like a special kind of relationship.
Special bond there.
Yeah.
Worked together a long time. And that's not a, you know, usually you don't see that. 14 years, you know, in Minnesota together, 20 years overall. But to be kind of, you know, a general manager to be in place for that long, 14 years, and then, you know, to have his guy with them for that long. And that guy, obviously, if you had that job, you've had a lot of success, but and that right. guy not go anywhere else. It's usually you don't see that type of situation. So kudos to them. Both seem like they're good guys and do things the right way. And obviously they've done a lot of the right way there in Minnesota. And I'm excited. I'm excited about George Payton and what he can bring here and hopefully get this thing back on track.
Well, you know, not everyone's excited.
No?
No.
What?
Not everyone likes the Broncos' new GM hire.
But besides you?
Stop.
Just joking.
I'll give you a guess who's down on the hire. I'll give you one guess, and after you're done guessing, you'll hear his voice next.
Agent in the state of Colorado, that's my guy, Chad Manum. Why is Chad the best? Because he delivers results. When you're selling a home, you want it sold quickly and for the most money, and nobody knows this real estate market better than Chad Manum. He was born and raised right here in Colorado. He sold over 6,000 homes. That's more homes than any other agent in Colorado. Real estate is at a pivotal moment in time. You've seen the rise of Amazon, Uber, Netflix. The world is changing, and Chad Matlab is on the forefront of that change. Matlab Real Estate will buy your home at retail. This is not one of those nameless, faceless, instant offers you keep hearing about where they keep a lot of your equity and charge ridiculous fees. Nope, you heard me right. Chad Matlab Real Estate will buy your home at retail. No strings attached. And don't forget, if you just want a traditional sale, Chad Matlab sells homes for 3% more money, three times faster. This is the guy you want representing you. This is the guy you want selling your house. Pick up the phone today and call my guy, Chad Matlab, 303-900-8570, or you can find them online at fastsaleguaranteed.com.
This segment on 104.3 The Fan is brought to you by Ideal Home Loans.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
I think that with this tremendous change with the Denver Broncos, it has a lot of us feeling a little bit better about hitting the reset button around here, and it is certainly a big change. It's about as big a change as you can make within an organization, making a move at the top, at the general manager spot, John Elway stepping aside or stepping up, however you want to phrase it, and George Payton coming into the fold. But not everyone likes the move. Not everyone likes the hire. And you may have guessed it. It's James Merrillat here at Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan that has been vocal on social media about being less than impressed. James, go ahead and lay out as to why.
Well, no. I like the hire. I mean, of the five candidates, I thought he was the best one. I think getting someone from another organization who has no previous ties to the Broncos at all, I think is a big-time positive. I heard what you guys were saying earlier today, in some of the comments that I think it was Rick Spielman that was talking about George Payton's work ethic. I think that's fantastic. I think that's been a big problem here for quite some time. And, it is why I would get upset when John Elway would be in Palm Springs the weekend before the draft. And he's, gallivanting to Coeur d'Alene and to Tahoe. And people would say, hey, he can have his cell phone and his laptop and, work from anywhere. Well, yeah, that's true. But if you're riding around on your boat on the lake, you're not breaking down film. So, I think having somebody with all the skills that supposedly George Payton is bringing to the table, I think is exciting and it's a good new day. What I'm not willing to do is say I'm 100% sure he's going to be great and this is a home run hire. We don't know that because he's never done the job. And anytime somebody's stepping up and doing a job that they haven't done before, there is an element of projection to that. That's just the reality. So some of the people who just are rubber stamping it of, hey, this is a surefire home run, going to be a huge hit type of a hire. All I'm saying is let's take a little bit of, wait and see with it. And I think it's going to work out, but none of us know that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I don't think you could pinpoint anybody out there that you would be doing jumping jacks for. I don't know what general manager out there that they would hire, a former general manager that would have me saying, oh, this is a slam dunk. This guy's going to come in here and dominate. I don't think it works that way. So I look at the big picture and I say, okay, I'm with Zach. I wish they would have interviewed some former general managers, just thrown a couple more in there. But I do. I like the hire. I like some fresh blood. I like a guy that's never quite done it before, but that's been right there in the mix, and he's been doing it at a high level, and now here's his opportunity. He's got that hunger. He's going to grind. And so I like that about this situation with George Payton, because I don't think there was a guy available. Rick Smith, okay, well, what did he do in Houston there? It was good for a while. Then it was bad. Same thing with Dimitroff and these other guys. It always seems like,
sure,
Okay, they had their good run, but also they fell on their face a little bit too. I like the new blood here and a guy that hasn't done it for that reason.
No, and I'm with you. I think you can go the other way to the other extreme too, right, where it's just a retread and there's nothing exciting about that. So
yep.
I think getting a guy that's amped up and excited for the job and his first opportunity, we know one thing, we're going to get everything from him, right? He's not going to, he's not going to give us 80%. He's bringing it all since it's his first shot at it. So I'm with you on that. I do think though, Rick Smith, we know that he can identify a modern day quarterback. He drafted Deshaun Watson. We know it. We know Thomas Dimitroff can build a Super Bowl team. He's done it. Were their resumes perfect? No, of course not. But neither has the Vikings' resume been perfect while Payton has been there. And we don't know, they've drafted, they make a big deal of how they've drafted, 10 Pro Bowlers or whatever the number is.
Yeah.
That's great. We don't know if Payton was, he was actually the one doing all that, and Spielman's been riding his coattails, vice versa. Was it 50-50? Like, that's the part of it we don't know. So, again, I'm not trying to downplay or, rain on the parade here with the hire. I think it's a good hire. It's a little bit of a pattern, right? Their other big hires of late have been head coaches, and their last two have been guys that this is the highest job they've ever had, right? BJ and Vic Fangio. They didn't, really look at guys who had done it before. I guess Munchak was in the mix when they hired Fangio, but two first-timers, two newbies there. Now with this hire, it's a bunch of first-timers. It would have been a newbie. They didn't even interview somebody who's done this before. there's a little bit of a disturbing pattern with that. And the reason I maybe am a little bit more cautiously optimistic, and again, I'm more optimistic as every day goes and a little less cautious, but I am cautiously optimistic because those two head coach hires were just so bad, and they were guys that were in over their head who just weren't ready for that leap. I don't think that's going to be the case here, but it's why I'm not just, you know, jumping up and down and doing cartwheels down Spear Boulevard like a lot of people.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I mean, we'll see how he does. Ultimately, that's what's going to determine whether it's good or bad. And he's got a lot of decisions to make here, and some big decisions quickly. James, I want to ask you about John Elway. John said he's stepping away. You know, he's not going to be really involved a lot. Some of the big decisions, you know, possibly. What do you make of that? Are you confident that will happen and John will be, you know, doing his thing and let George Payton do his?
Yeah, I am confident in that. One, because I think they hired somebody who doesn't need a lot of mentoring, right? He's been the right-hand man for 14 years, so or at least the last few of that 14 years. So he's ready to make that step. He doesn't, you know, need to be shown the ropes. The other part of it is, look, the clean break for Ellis, Elway, Fangio, everybody would have been, you know, a year from now when a new owner's imminent, either Brittany Bolin or somebody buys the team. And that's when they could make the switch. So to me, the fact that John Elway wasn't willing to stay on for 14 months, he just was so over the job that he doesn't want to do it even for a year to make this transition to where everything can kind of happen at one time and you can kind of have the clean brooming. The fact that he's that adamant about leaving tells me he has really no interest in being involved, you know, very long in this. I think he's a guy that'll be there to kind of consult and to help and to provide background on, hey, how'd the previous conversations go with Bond and his agents when you, you know, when you had the franchise tag on him and just kind of some of that deep background stuff. But I don't expect John Elway to be looking over George Payton's shoulder on every decision by any means. I think he's a guy that's ready to be retired and enjoying that aspect of life. And you know what? He deserves it. Good for him. I don't say that disparaging in any way, shape or form. I think it's probably a good thing for him and a good thing for the Broncos at this point.
James and James Merrillat joining us here from 1043thefan.com, dropping by live here on Stokely and Zach. I want to apologize because I sort of misrepresented your stance on Payton. I just combed back through your timeline right now, and I see you saying cautiously optimistic, and I had said that you were down on the hire. That's not really the case. So sorry about that, buddy.
Okay. He does it to me all the time, James. Join the party here.
Well, the only difference is I do it to you on purpose. That was an accident with James. James, the quarterback, it's, you know, maybe along with Von Miller, the, you know, most important decision that needs to be made this offseason. I know that some people will tell you, despite, you know, Drew Locke leading the NFL in interceptions and dead last in completion percentage, that he was actually awesome all year. I don't think that the Broncos think like that. I don't think George Payton thinks like that. What do you think is next for that position?
Well, I think George Payton's going to try to be aggressive. That is one thing from his background with the Vikings that I like. They clearly understand that quarterback is the most important position in sports, and you know, if they don't have a guy, they'll do aggressive things to try and find one. So in free agency, that's been giving big money to Kirk Cousins, bringing in Brett Favre, taking a shot at Sam Bradford and hoping you could turn him around. And then in the draft, they've spent first round picks on quarterbacks. Now, they haven't been very good ones. Christian Ponder at number 12 was a bust, and you know, I think Teddy Bridgewater had a chance to be pretty good. He was, you know, kind of trending in that direction before the catastrophic knee injury in training camp up there. But I like the fact that he brings a track record of, we got to be aggressive with that position. We just can't sit around and hope that it's just going to fall into our laps. I don't think he's a guy that would have gone into a season trying to defend a Super Bowl championship with Trevor Siemian, who had taken one snap, and that was to take a knee. So that's encouraging to me. But just because he wants to upgrade doesn't mean he's going to be able to. So there's no guarantee that Matthew Stafford will be available. If he is, there's no guarantee that the Broncos will win that bidding war. But I think if Stafford's on the, you know, is out there and is on the market, I think Payton will make a run at him. I think at number 9, if Zach Wilson falls to him, I think that wouldn't shock me if he would make that pick, or if he really loves him or Fields, would he look at it and say, hey, we can move up to, you know, five or six here and make a run at our guy. So, he doesn't have a magic wand as he comes here to just make a quarterback appear, but I do think he'll be aggressive with it. And it's not just going to be, oh, let's sit back and let's give the kid one more year to see if he can develop. I think if he sees a clear upgrade, which any of those guys I just mentioned would be a clear upgrade, I think he'd jump on it.
Well, James,
this is KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. Go ahead, Stoke.
I had a shot for that too.
I mean that was the rudest thing that you've ever done to me. You can't step out of line like that. You can't step out of line like
the look
that.
Look on your face. I'm so glad you're in studio, so I got to see it. That was awesome.
I took that question, that answer, really long just for you two, so just setting you up.
I had it. I mean, it was my turn to go. Either I do it or I don't do it, and I was about to do it. And Zach's rude self. You're lucky I can't say what I want to say because we're on air right now.
Oh my God!
Totally, I mean, unbelievable. Just lost my train of thought. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, this guy just, you know, there's no rules. No rules for Zach, but he didn't follow the rules that are in play here. James, what do you think it would take to get Matt Stafford? I heard Sandy say, I think, Zach, back me up if I'm wrong here, or correct me if I'm wrong, excuse me, that he would give up the ninth pick for Matthew Stafford.
Ooh.
Sandy? He said that on our show, I think it was.
Did he?
I mean,
yeah, oh, yeah, yes.
I mean, would you think about doing that? I mean, to me, that's way too much. What would you give up for a second and a third? Like, what's too much for you, and what would you be willing to give up to get a guy like Matthew Stafford?
Well, I think the first question I'd have to find out the answer to, and this is the conversation with Matthew Stafford of, hey, how long are you going to play? Right. I mean, he's made unbelievable money. He's made more than $100 million. So he's not playing for the money. He's playing because he wants to try and, you know,
well, he wants to play. He answers the question. Yeah, he wants to play for the next, you know, 5-6 years. What are you willing to give up for him?
If it's 5 or 6 years, I would give up a first round pick for him.
You'd give up the ninth pick?
Probably. Okay. I don't think there's anybody that they would take at number nine that would have as big of an impact on this team as upgrading from Drew Lock to Matthew Stafford. I just don't. That'd be a tough one. I mean, I would certainly sit there and toss and turn about that decision. But I think Matthew Stafford is a really, really good quarterback. I think all of us, you know, that cover this team, that heading into training camp, we would have a field day daydreaming about, you know, Matthew Stafford with Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler and Cortland Sutton and Noah Fant and Melvin Gordon. Like, I mean, we would turn that into, you know, the greatest thing going. So I think it would be a clear upgrade. I think it would make this team an instant playoff contender. I don't think it makes them, you know, the contender in the division necessarily against the Chiefs. But, hey, they're a team that could get the, you know, 5, 6, or 7 seed with Matthew Stafford for sure. And if he's going to play for 5 or 6 years and it's a long-term deal, yeah. I mean, there's no guarantee the number 9 pick is going to come in and be here and be a long-term answer. So I would go get the known commodity. I'd go get a quarterback that's a big-time player. I would make that trade.
And I disagree, and this is why I disagree, because I think you do that if your team is close to winning. And I don't think the Broncos are close to winning. I think they need to kind of retool and rebuild this thing up, and spending the ninth pick on a veteran quarterback who, you know, he's not special. He's a good, solid quarterback. He's not a special quarterback. I think that's trying to put a Band-Aid on, and you're going to look back in 4 or 5 years, and you're not going to go that far. Maybe you make it to the playoffs a couple years, but you're not going to be hoisting a Lombardi trophy, I don't believe, with Matthew Stafford. You're just too far away. So that's why I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably the biggest position in need, if you assume quarterback's fine with Drew Lock, which I think is a grand assumption, but it would be cornerback, especially if Bryce Callahan doesn't come back or A.J. Boye doesn't come back or both. That's a position in need. But does Surtain get them closer to being a Super Bowl team than Stafford? You know, it makes their defense pretty good down the road for sure. But that's the part of it where I just look at it and say, I know I heard you guys yesterday making fun of me for picking them 10-6 this year. That's all based on I like their talent. I really do.
Why do you keep going back to it, James?
if you took the exact same team they had now and added Matthew Stafford, they'd clearly be better. But I'm going to, you know, somewhat contradict myself, because they still would not have solved the biggest problem, they're still being coached by Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur. So Matthew Stafford doesn't come in here and cure all that ails them, but hey, it's an upgrade, and I think it's a bigger upgrade, that especially short term, than anybody they could get at the number nine pick.
Well, here's you know, and one of our listeners just pointed out on the RamosLaw.com text line. I think it's fair to mention, like, if you went and got Matt Stafford, he's probably still the third best quarterback in the division.
Well, anytime you get anybody, they're going to be the second best quarterback in the division, right? So you're already starting there.
Well, the hope, I
we don't know what Herbert's going to be next year. Look, he was fine.
He was not fine. He was great. He was great. It was an all-time rookie season.
Okay, but it wasn't like they were winning games left and right.
No.
We don't know what he's going to look like in year two. I mean, I'm not ready to all of a sudden cede that second spot to Justin Herbert. Not right now. Now he's trending in that direction.
Well, I would think that the hope would be, if you're talking about the number nine pick and you would go the direction of drafting a young quarterback, I think the hope would be that he could eventually be the second best quarterback in the division. I mean, I think that'd be the hope, unless we're seeding for one and two.
What does that mean? What does that mean, really? What does that mean? Tell me what, like, okay, I guarantee you. Okay, so Patrick Mahomes is the best. Okay, so does that mean, like, okay, we're already screwed forever?
No.
Okay,
no.
But that's what I'm saying, too. And then also,
I think you got to be able to play with them, though.
But you can't. Matthew Stafford can play with you know, the Chargers quarterback, whoever it may be. I mean, he can compete with him. And some weeks, here's the thing, some weeks he'll be better. And some weeks the other guy will be better.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.